All right, Lakers, next game tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know that's going to be without Anthony Davis. We'll see how long AD is out for. Looks like 2 to 3 weeks before he's reevaluated. So I'm just getting into this. And by the way, if you guys want to be a part of the conversation, 877-710-ESPN. Know this. Anytime you want to talk Lakers basketball and Lakers talk, even without an invitation, you're always welcome to just pick up the phone and call. So the chat is about what do the Lakers kind of do from here? I already talked about Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, that the expectations for those two players is not going to be, well, he had 10 points and 4 rebounds for Montrezl Harrell, and that's okay. No, it cannot be that way for these next couple of weeks until AD comes back. Dennis Schroeder, the same thing. Schroeder's got to fill up that stat line and be effective for the Lakers. But I think there's one player who has the biggest opportunity over these next 3 weeks or so, and I think some Laker fans know who I'm talking about. The biggest opportunity right now is for Kyle Kuzma, and it's not even close to me. You know, something interesting has happened with Kuz over these last few games. By the way, Stu Lance coming up at 7:30. Something interesting has happened with Kuz. So 3 games ago, I'm gonna kind of just point out his last 3 games. He had a game where he had 15 points and he had 9 rebounds. Another game with 20 points and 10 rebounds. Yesterday, I want to say he had 18 and 9, something along those lines. One of the things that we've never talked about with Kuz is consistency. Kuz has never been consistent. And that's one of the things that has hurt Kuzma when when people are trying to give him love or they're criticizing his game or whatever the case is. It really just comes down to consistency. And I've been saying this, that I appreciate what Kuz has done this season, how he has sacrificed in his role, how he is accepting, I just want to win. I don't care what happens after that. I don't need the ball. I don't need the stats. I just want to win. But these last 3 games, one of the things I loved watching Kuz, a lot of the stuff that he's been doing has not been manufactured for him. A lot of the stuff that he's been doing, they're not set plays for Kyle Kuzma. No, it's Kuz off pure hustle, pure energy, crashing the boards, getting putbacks when he can. You guys saw that dunk yesterday over Michael Porter Jr. Plays like that is where Kyle Kuzma has kind of excelled at. Well, now Kuz comes into the starting lineup. I thought LeBron said something interesting yesterday postgame. He said, well, when we lost Anthony Davis in the middle of the game, of course it's going to change everything. But now we're going to have time knowing if Anthony Davis is out, the game plans are going to change. Okay, this player is in the starting role. This guy knows, okay, you're coming off the bench. Now other players understand how important their role is because the best two-way player in the game is going to miss some time. Kuz, I stop at for a second. See how many times I've heard this? And I hate it when I hear it, but there's some truth to it. Every time I hear people say, yeah, but have you seen Kuz when he starts? I'm like, okay. Or have you seen Kuzma's numbers when AD or LeBron doesn't play? Yeah, I have seen them. Well, it's irrelevant because LeBron and Anthony Davis are both supposed to be playing. So the question is not what you do when one of those two guys are out. Of course, yes, you're going to have opportunities to eat more. The question becomes, how effective are you when both of those players are playing? Because now you're playing your specific role. You're not LeBron, you're not Anthony Davis. But when I say I think he's got the biggest opportunity, I feel like he has a very good grasp on how to be effective on a night-in, night-out basis now with the Lakers. I feel that. At this moment, that's what I feel. Now, Kuzma will be looked upon a little bit different than he was certainly before Anthony Davis had any bumps and bruises. Now, all of a sudden, you look at Anthony Davis, and this is going to be, or you look at Kyle Kuzma, it's going to be a good conversation. I want to bring this up to Stu Lance. You look at Kyle Kuzma, and if he's averaging 10, 11 points a game, yeah, that's got to change now. But he's got that skill set, and he's going to get 30 minutes a game where it can change. Where now, if Anthony Davis just had a game 2 games ago against Memphis, AD took 27 shots. Which I love. I mean, I wish AD took 27 shots every game. If he did, he'd have 30-plus points a game, and there's no answer for Anthony Davis. But imagine having to disperse those 27 shots. Imagine now Kyle Kuzma actually being needed incredibly needed on the defensive side. Imagine all those little things that we don't typically pay attention to with Kuz, because you have Anthony Davis delivering on a night-in, night-out basis. So I love the opportunity that Kuz is going to have in front of him. And by the way, it's not just Kuz. You know, think about some of the other role players on this Lakers team. The reason why the first three players I mentioned were Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Kuzma is because I genuinely believe those three players can deliver for the Lakers. And I think they could do it consistently with Anthony Davis out. I had somebody hit me up on Twitter and say, I sent out a tweet when we found out AD was going to be out for a couple weeks, retweeting Woj's tweet. Somebody hit me and is like, well, why didn't you mention Gasol? I didn't mention Gasol because I don't have confidence that Gasol, that something different's going to happen with Gasol with Anthony Davis out. I think what we have right now with Gasol, now maybe Gasol's a little bit more, maybe he's a little bit more aggressive. On Friday or on Thursday last week, we had our Zoom calls, and Gasol, that was one of the questions I had for him. Do you feel like you're too unselfish sometimes? You know, you're only looking to pass, and is that kind of hurting your offensive capabilities? And he said, well, this is my role, and this is how I feel like I could help the team most. Well, maybe his role changed a little bit, you know, over these next couple of weeks. Other players, I'll kind of keep going down the list, but I don't know if Gasol, I don't see all of a sudden Gasol now becomes what he was a few years ago. I don't see really his career. I don't see him changing at this point. I think what we got with Gasol is what we have. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope he becomes more productive as the season progresses, or maybe it's one of those things where come playoff time, he could take his game to a different level. Markieff Morris, we're going to see how his impact changes with the Lakers. The other guys that I haven't really mentioned too much about, I think THT and Caruso, I think those two guys are going to be ready. I think they've been consistent enough to where you feel like they can get in and, you know, be effective for the Lakers. The other wild cards I would put in there is Wesley Matthews and KCP. KCP especially. KCP, you know, I genuinely am not sure why KCP has been struggling as much as he has, but those are going to be two additional players they have to step up for the Lakers. I mean, I know I pretty much named off the entire roster, but when you miss Anthony Davis, when you miss AD, what do you expect? You certainly expect when you miss Anthony Davis. LeBron said this also in the postgame show yesterday. He said, there's no replacing Anthony Davis. There's no replacing him. And not one individual player is, you know, obviously going to be able to replace Anthony Davis. But if each one of these players can pick up their own specific role, then all of a sudden, as a group, they're able to do as best as they can. I actually don't think the Lakers, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to have a horrible stretch here until Anthony Davis comes back. I mean, first of all, it's LeBron James. LBJ has played with, trust me when I tell you this, he's played with teams, he's played on teams before. Remember some of those teams on the Cavs? LeBron by himself, it wouldn't be the first time that he's carrying a team solo. And LBJ is it's beautiful to watch him play the game no matter who's on the floor. But at times, even when he has to kind of slice and dice and let's just say this, the reason why I haven't talked about LeBron James and having to do more, he shouldn't have to do any more. I mean, what else do you want LeBron James to do? Just think about LeBron James so far this season. This is not, I mean, if people are out there, and I haven't really listened to too many of the other media outlets talk about, well, LBJ now, and I haven't paid attention to it, but anybody that's saying, well, LeBron's now got to take his game to another level. What do you mean LeBron's got to take his game to another level? There isn't a better player in the world so far this year. And that's with LeBron missing, or that's with Anthony Davis already missing some of these games. And that's with a shortened offseason, the shortest offseason that we've ever had. And this is coming off an NBA championship, an NBA Finals MVP. What I don't want to see is people start asking LeBron to do more. No, you went out there and you got all these role players, and you got guys that need to be stepping up to begin with that have either been subpar or below what we thought they would be this deep into the season. This is not on LeBron to figure things out over this time that Anthony Davis is out. It really is. I keep kind of going back to this. It's an opportunity for a lot of these other role players to step up their game. LeBron just has to keep doing what he's doing. But the point I was going to make is it's been a joy watching LeBron James when he's been in predicaments where, you know, you just kind of assume, well, you know, AD's out. Lakers don't have a shot. No. You guys remember in Cleveland, I went back and looked at this. I was looking at the worst teams that LeBron has been on and some of the players that he's had. Remember when he went to the NBA Finals, and I know this was a long time ago, but LeBron today is as good as any year that he's ever played in the league. In 2007, he went to the Finals with Eric Snow, Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I'd go put a squad together right now. But it is kind of funny. I mean, you think of some of the players that he's remember back in 2015, he loses Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, yet they still win two games against the Golden State Warriors. He averaged 36-13-9. So it's not ideal, but if there's one player that could keep the Lakers afloat, it's LeBron James. I mean, he impacts the game in every possible way. The defensive side is where I'm worried for the Lakers. Might have a lot of games where the Lakers are giving up a lot of points. Who knows? Maybe some of these other guys. Put it this way, if the Lakers were bored watching that five-game homestand where they got off to awful starts and then they come back and get into overtime, if they were bored before, they won't be bored now, because every game now is going to be a dogfight, and it doesn't matter who you're playing and what their schedule is and what their record is. Lakers obviously have some tough games in front of them. They're going to have to do it without Anthony Davis. Okay. I want to get to Stu Lance. So Stu Lance, color commentator for the Lakers since 1987. You could hear him every game on Spectrum Sportsnet. One of the best in the business. You know, sometimes when I'm looking for old highlights and I want to play something on Lakers talk, I'll go back and I'll try to find Chicken Stew. And it kind of takes you back to your younger days. And, of course, right now, Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, and Stu Lance are fantastic on Spectrum. But Stu is one of my favorite. He really is. Stu Lance coming up next, legendary color commentator for the Lakers. Thank you for being a part of the show. 877-710-ESPN. I'll take some calls around 745. So if you want to get a part of this conversation, just get in the queue. We'll get you at 745. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Lakers, next game tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know that's going to be without Anthony Davis. We'll see how long AD is out for. Looks like 2 to 3 weeks before he's reevaluated. So I'm just getting into this. And by the way, if you guys want to be a part of the conversation, 877-710-ESPN. Know this, anytime you want to talk Lakers basketball and Lakers talk, even without an invitation, you're always welcome to just pick up the phone and call. So the chat is about, what do the Lakers kind of do from here? I already talked about Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, that the expectations for those two players is not going to be, well, he had 10 points and 4 rebounds for Montrezl Harrell, and that's okay. No, it cannot be that way for these next couple of weeks until AD comes back. Dennis Schroeder, the same thing. Schroeder's got to fill up that stat line and be effective for the Lakers. But I think there's one player, who has the biggest opportunity over these next 3 weeks or so, and I think some Laker fans know who I'm talking about. The biggest opportunity right now is for Kyle Kuzma, and it's not even close to me. You know, something interesting has happened with Kuz over these last few games. By the way, Stu Lance coming up at 7:30. Something interesting has happened with Kuz. So 3 games ago, I'm gonna kind of just point out his last 3 games. He had a game where he had 15 points and he had 9 rebounds. Another game with 20 points and 10 rebounds. Yesterday, I want to say he had 18 and 9, something along those lines. One of the things that we've never talked about with Kuz is consistency. Kuz has never been consistent. And that's one of the things that has hurt Kuzma when people are trying to give him love or they're criticizing his game or whatever the case is. It really just comes down to consistency. And I've been saying this, that I appreciate what Kuz has done this season, how he has sacrificed in his role, how he is accepting, I just want to win. I don't care what happens after that. I don't need the ball. I don't need the stats. I just want to win. But these last three games, one of the things I loved watching Kuz, a lot of the stuff that he's been doing has not been manufactured for him. A lot of the stuff that he's been doing, they're not set plays for Kyle Kuzma. No, no, it's Kuz off pure hustle, pure energy, crashing the boards, getting putbacks when he can. You guys saw that dunk yesterday over Michael Porter Jr. Plays like that is where Kyle Kuzma has kind of excelled at. Well, now Kuz comes into the starting lineup. I thought LeBron said something interesting yesterday postgame. He said, well, when we lost Anthony Davis in the middle of the game, of course it's going to change everything. But now we're going to have time knowing if Anthony Davis is out, the game plans are going to change. Okay, this player is in the starting role. This guy knows, okay, you're coming off the bench. Now other players understand how important their role is because the best two-way player in the game is going to miss some time. Kuz, I stop at for a second. See how many times I've heard this? And I hate it when I hear it, but there's some truth to it. Every time I hear people say, yeah, but have you seen Kuz when he starts? I'm like, okay. Or have you seen Kuzma's numbers when AD or LeBron doesn't play? Yeah, I have seen them. Well, it's irrelevant because LeBron and Anthony Davis are both supposed to be playing. So it's not, the question is not what you do when one of those two guys are out. Of course, yes, you're going to have opportunities to eat more. The question becomes, how effective are you when both of those players are playing? Because now you're playing your specific role. You're not LeBron, you're not Anthony Davis. But when I say I think he's got the biggest opportunity, I feel like he has a very good grasp on how to be effective on a night-in, night-out basis now with the Lakers. I feel that. At this moment, that's what I feel. Now, Kuzma will be looked upon a little bit different than he was certainly before Anthony Davis had any bumps and bruises. Now, all of a sudden, you look at Anthony Davis, and this is going to be, or you look at Kyle Kuzma, it's going to be a good conversation. I'm going to bring this up to Stu Lance. You look at Kyle Kuzma, and if he's averaging 10, 11 points a game, yeah, that's got to change now. But he's got that skill set, and he's going to get 30 minutes a game where it can change. Where now, if Anthony Davis just had a game 2 games ago against Memphis, AD took 27 shots. Which I love. I mean, I wish AD took 27 shots every game. If he did, he'd have 30-plus points a game, and there's no answer for Anthony Davis. But imagine having to disperse those 27 shots. Imagine now Kyle Kuzma actually being needed, incredibly needed on the defensive side. Imagine all those little things that we don't typically pay attention to with Kuz because you have Anthony Davis delivering on a night-in, night-out basis. So I love the opportunity that Kuz is going to have in front of him. And by the way, it's not just Kuz. You know, think about some of the other role players on this Lakers team. The reason why the first three players I mentioned were Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Kuzma is because I genuinely believe those three players can deliver for the Lakers. And I think they could do it consistently with Anthony Davis out. I had somebody hit me up on Twitter and say, I sent out a tweet when we found out AD was going to be out for a couple weeks. Retweeting Woj's tweet. Somebody hit me, he's like, well, why didn't you mention Gasol? I didn't mention Gasol because I don't have confidence that something different's going to happen with Gasol with Anthony Davis out. I think what we have right now with Gasol, now maybe Gasol's a little bit more, maybe he's a little bit more aggressive. On Friday or on Thursday last week, we had our Zoom calls and Gasol, that was one of the questions I had for him. Do you feel like you're too unselfish sometimes? You know, you're only looking to pass, and is that kind of hurting your offensive capabilities? And he said, well, this is my role, and this is how I feel like I could help the team most. Well, maybe his role changed a little bit, you know, over these next couple of weeks. Other players, I'll kind of keep going down the list, but I don't know if Gasol, I don't see all of a sudden Gasol now becomes what he was a few years ago. I don't see really his career. I don't see him changing at this point. I think what we got with Gasol is what we have. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope he becomes more productive as the season progresses, or maybe it's one of those things where come playoff time, he could take his game to a different level. Markieff Morris, we're going to see how his impact changes with the Lakers. The other guys that I haven't really mentioned too much about, I think THT and Caruso, I think those two guys are going to be ready. I think they've been consistent enough to where you feel like they can get in and, you know, be effective for the Lakers. The other wild cards I would put in there is Wesley Matthews and KCP. KCP especially. KCP, you know, I genuinely am not sure why KCP has been struggling as much as he has, but those are going to be two additional players they have to step up for the Lakers. I mean, I know I pretty much named off the entire roster, but when you miss Anthony Davis, when you miss AD, what do you expect? You certainly expect when you miss Anthony Davis. LeBron said this also in the postgame show yesterday. He said, there's no replacing Anthony Davis. There's no replacing him. And not one individual player is, you know, obviously going to be able to replace Anthony Davis. But if each one of these players can pick up their own specific role, then all of a sudden, as a group, they're able to do as best as they can. I actually don't think the Lakers. I don't think they're going to have a horrible stretch here until Anthony Davis comes back. I mean, first of all, it's LeBron James. LBJ has played with, trust me when I tell you this, he's played on teams before. Remember some of those teams on the Cavs? LeBron by himself, it wouldn't be the first time that he's carrying a team solo. And LBJ is it's beautiful to watch him play the game no matter who's on the floor. But at times, even when he has to kind of slice and dice and let's just say this. The reason why I haven't talked about LeBron James and having to do more, he shouldn't have to do any more. I mean, what else do you want LeBron James to do? Just think about LeBron James so far this season. If people are out there, and I haven't really listened to too many of the other media outlets talk about, well, LBJ now, and I haven't paid attention to it, but anybody that's saying, well, LeBron's now got to take his game to another level. What do you mean LeBron's got to take his game to another level? There isn't a better player in the world so far this year. And that's with LeBron missing, or that's with Anthony Davis already missing some of these games. And that's with a shortened offseason, the shortest offseason that we've ever had. And this is coming off an NBA championship and an NBA Finals MVP. What I don't want to see is people start asking LeBron to do more. No. You went out there and you got all these role players and you got guys that need to be stepping up to begin with that have either been subpar or below what we thought they would be this deep into the season. This is not on LeBron to figure things out over this time that Anthony Davis is out. It really is. I keep kind of going back to this. It's an opportunity for a lot of these other role players to step up their game. LeBron just has to keep doing what he's doing. But the point I was going to make is it's been a joy watching LeBron James when he's been in predicaments where, you just kind of assume, well, you know, AD's out. Lakers don't have a shot. No. You guys remember in Cleveland, I went back and looked at this. I was looking at the worst teams that LeBron has been on and some of the players that he's had. Remember when he went to the NBA Finals, and I know this was a long time ago, but LeBron today is as good as any year that he's ever played in the league. In 2007, he went to the Finals with Eric Snow, Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I'd go put a squad together right now. But it is kind of funny. I mean, you think of some of the players that he's remember back in 2015, he loses Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, yet they still win two games against the Golden State Warriors. He averaged 36, 13, and 9. So it's not ideal, but if there's one player that could keep the Lakers afloat, it's LeBron James. I mean, he impacts the game in every possible way. The defensive side is where I'm worried for the Lakers. Might have a lot of games where the Lakers are giving up a lot of points. Who knows? Maybe some of these other guys. Put it this way. If the Lakers were bored watching that five-game homestand where they got off to awful starts and then they come back and get into overtime, if they were bored before, they won't be bored now because every game now is going to be a dogfight, and it doesn't matter who you're playing and what their schedule is and what their record is. Lakers obviously have some tough games in front of them. They're going to have to do it without Anthony Davis. Okay. I want to get to Stu Lance. So Stu Lance, color commentator for the Lakers since 1987. You could hear him every game on Spectrum Sportsnet. One of the best in the business. You know, sometimes when I'm looking for old highlights and I want to play something on Lakers talk, I'll go back and I'll try to find Chicken Stew. And it kind of takes you back to your younger days. And, of course, right now, Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, and Stu Lance are fantastic on Spectrum. But Stu is one of my favorite. He really is. Stu Lance coming up next, legendary color commentator for the Lakers. Thank you for being a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. I'll take some calls around 745, so if you want to get a part of this conversation, just get in the queue. We'll get you at 745. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Always excited to bring on Stu Lance, the color commentator for the Lakers since 1987. You can hear him on every Lakers game on Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu, how are you doing? And thank you again for taking some time and joining the show.
Thank you. I'm doing well. I hope all is well with you and yours.
Well, I want to get your initial thoughts. Obviously, a lot of things have changed in the last 24 hours for the Lakers. But your initial thoughts today, the report earlier on Anthony Davis, certainly going to miss tomorrow's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we'll see how much time he eventually misses. What's your initial thoughts on the last, you could say, 24 hours or so?
Well, you know, as soon as the injury occurred in the game yesterday, last night, I was immediately drawn to the two previous games that he missed for the same injury, and then thinking maybe he wasn't 100%, and I think even he said he was not 100% coming back. So I think now they're going to be extremely cautious. They're not going to bring him back until he is 100%. So I look for him to miss a few weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stu, you know, here we are a couple weeks away or so from the All-Star break. Lakers' last game, I want to say, on the schedule is March 3rd, and then we're going to wait to see when the second half schedule comes out, and then basketball will get started again around March 10th or so. Would you be surprised if we don't see Anthony Davis at this point, at least through the All-Star break?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would be very surprised if we saw him before then. I mean, that's the type of injury that you just have to be very cautious with. I don't know if it's the same type of injury, but remember a couple of years ago when the Warriors were in the playoffs and sure. KD missed some games with a sore Achilles and all of that, and then he came back for one of the games and he wasn't 100%, and he ruptured the Achilles. So I hope I'm far-fetching this thing, but it's so similar in the scenarios that this is why I think that the team is going to be extremely careful about bringing him back.
So, Stu, as this kind of plays itself out and the Lakers, you know, obviously continue this week alone, you got Minnesota, you got Brooklyn, you got Miami in the next three games. What can we expect from this Lakers team when you lose such a significant piece like Anthony Davis? I guess you can say nobody's going to replace Anthony Davis, but when you start looking at some of these role players and one of the strengths for the Lakers coming into the year was their depth, how do you see the Lakers trying to figure things out now, knowing that AD could be out for a little bit of time?
Well, I think beyond their depth, I think they have to individually, even with the starters, look to improve upon their numbers. I mean, you have to make it up across the board, the absence of Anthony Davis. So I think LeBron has to continue to do what he's been doing. He's been averaging about 25, 26 points. He's going to have to do that, maybe add a couple there. I think Kuz now in the starting lineup, you know, Kuz is averaging about 11 on the year, but as long as Anthony's away, I think he should go up to about 18 to 20 a night. KCP is the guy that I think really has to step forward in some fashion. I mean, I don't know whether it's just get him more involved with the ball in the half court offense, but they have to run more. But KCP, he's only been averaging about, you know, 8-9 points after starting out the year so effectively. So he's got to go up into double figures. Dennis has to go back to 18 a game. I think Marc Gasol has to look to be a little bit more productive. He averages 4 on the year. He needs to double that in the absence of Anthony Davis. And, of course, Trez needs to he needs to be more involved as well. So across the board, they have to get more production from everybody. And then X factors are the other players that are coming off the bench maybe, you know, whether it's Markieff, whether it's Caruso, whether it's Wesley Matthews, somebody. All of those guys are going to have to really put forth the effort to get more production.
Color commentator for the Lakers since 1987. You can hear him every Lakers game on Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu Lance joining Lakers Talk. Stu, you mentioned KCP. When you have a player like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's really in a funk right now, he's struggling. By the way, the Lakers from the three-point line have been struggling as well. What typically gets a player to start going again? And I know I'm kind of just talking very broad when I bring this up, but for KCP, do you just need one good game and that could change everything? How do you get out of the funk and get your confidence back?
Well, one good game could, but I don't. My adage has always been, one game didn't put you in a slump, and one game won't take you out. You've got to find a way to get some consistency, you know. And it's all about, with KCP, I believe, it's all about his confidence. Right now, his confidence is not there. When he's shooting the ball, he's not thinking that that ball is going in. He's questioning, is that ball going to go in? He's got to get that confidence back again. And once he gets the confidence, I think things will start to fall right back into play. And I think the team and the coaching staff will develop the confidence in him, because with him not making shots right now, they are very quick to pull the string on him and bring somebody in to replace him, and that doesn't do anything for his confidence. So it's a broad area there where everybody has to develop that confidence, and then things will work out.
So you mentioned Kuz, and I think Kuzma's been, yeah, it's been kind of interesting to watch him over the, let's say, the last week or so. He had a game, 15 points and 9 rebounds. He had a 20 and 10 game. He's been close to double-doubles or getting double-doubles in these last few games. And for him, you know, one of the things I think we notice, it's not like the Lakers are running set plays for him, but I feel like his activity level, his energy, crashing the rebounds, doing a lot of small things that maybe we didn't see early on in his career. How do you think his game has evolved? And if you look, if AD misses some time and he jumps into that starting role, what are the expectations on a consistent night-out basis? Because if there's one thing that's going to separate a decent player to a good player, it's going to be them producing on a consistent basis.
Well, I think, you know, history has shown that Kuz has seemingly always had better numbers as a starter. So I think him being in a starting lineup will definitely improve his numbers. I mentioned that he's averaging about 11 or so on the year, but he needs to go up to 18 to 20 in the absence of Anthony Davis. And I think he will. He's learned how to contribute before Anthony's injury. He learned how to contribute without having to score 18 to 20 a night, because his activity level on both ends has been remarkable. He's turned himself into a rebounder, not a guy who just gets rebounders. And he's really become an all-around good player. So that's something that's going to benefit him moving forward, not only this year, but all the years throughout his career.
So what have you thought about the Lakers' overall play over the last couple weeks or so? They had that five-game homestand. Of course, we had a few of those games were in overtime, playing against teams. Some tough starts for the Lakers, especially against teams below 500, and then that loss yesterday against Denver. How would you assess the Lakers the last couple of weeks? Record looks great, but how do you think they're doing?
Well, obviously the last four or five games at home, they were not coming out of the starting blocks very well. They, to some degree, kind of looked a little fatigued, a little tired. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they've got that mentality that they can flip the switch, which they did in a few of those games to get the victories. But it's been tough. It's been tough on the league, you know, with this pandemic. Teams aren't doing their normal routine. They don't get to practice the same way. They don't get to have the shoot-arounds and things like they used to do. So whether it's having an overall effect, one will never know, but those are some of the things that you have to look at in the big picture.
Stu Lance taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Stu, if the Lakers do, if they do suffer, you know, some time without Anthony Davis, and let's say it affects them in the standings, where, you know, last year they were the number one team of the Western Conference. I know it really didn't happen. It didn't really matter once you got to that Orlando bubble. Do you think this team, do you think home court is significant? Do you think it's important? How much do you think that could come into play come postseason?
I don't think they should really worry about their record per se. I mean, obviously they want to win every game that they play. But they have the kind of veterans in LeBron and, you know, and Anthony when healthy and some others that they don't really need home court. They've shown already this year, at the beginning of the year, that their record is better on the road than it is at home. And with no fans in the stands, I don't think it's going to play that big of a deal. So they should worry about one thing, and that's health. They should just be healthy when the playoffs begin.
Yeah, that does seem like the biggest challenge for the Lakers, at least to this point, will be just getting through that 72-game regular season grind. And it's not just the Lakers, it's obviously the NBA, but I do think more specifically towards the Lakers show, simply because such a short offseason for this Lakers team. Stu, final question I got for you, and this is a topic that I'm going to get into as the show progresses. The last time LeBron James won an MVP was the 2012-2013 season. And it took me a second to just kind of let that sink in, simply because I want to say he was 29 years old then. And, you know, I think it's safe to say every time we talk about LeBron James over the last 10 years, most people are saying, yeah, he's the best player in the world. How much do you put into the MVP? Is it something that you think is incredibly important? I'm asking this question because it's tough for me to fathom how 7 years have gone by and not one of those 7 years LeBron won an MVP.
Well, then you just almost summed it up for me, because when I joined the team in 1987, I was on the voting. You know, usually I give you a ballot to vote, and I would write on my ballot, I don't believe in most valuable player. I just don't, because what are the barometers? What's the parameters? How are you judging this? I see LeBron play. I used to tell, when I first joined, I see Magic Johnson play 100 times a year. I see Michael Jordan play twice. I mean, how am I judging most valuable player off of my own, aside from my own team? I know how valuable LeBron James is to this team. I just wish they would somehow find a different way of recognition in a sport that it requires so many different people to do the job to get where they want to get, and that's to a title. You can be the most valuable, as Giannis found out last year, and it meant nothing to him in the big picture because they didn't win the title. So to sum it up, I don't believe in most valuable player, and I think the game will continue on without it.
Well, Stu, that's a great perspective, because you know, a lot of times Michael Thompson and I were doing the pregame show. For example, Michael's been talking about how excited he is to see Brooklyn and Kevin Durant this upcoming Thursday, right? He wants to see that trio. Well, he's so excited because he doesn't get to watch them night in and night out. So I think it's a fair point. How are people going to assess one player when it's not a fair sample size of which player you're watching on a night in, night out basis?
Yeah, you just can't do it on numbers, so you know what the player is averaging or whatever. Yeah, can you do it on just best record? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because you can have the best record in the East and not be the best record or be the best team. I mean, so there's so many different ways to try to look at that and try to come out with an honest answer. So that's why I kept putting the ballot back in, don't believe in it, and they stopped sending it to me.
That is great. That's a great story there, Stu. Well, listen, man, as always, appreciate your insight, appreciate your opinion on the Los Angeles Lakers, and always appreciate the time. So thank you for
joining the show. I appreciate it. Be safe.
All right, that is Stu right there, Stu Lance, the legendary commentator. Always appreciate getting his insight on the Lakers and making time to come on the show. So I really do appreciate him doing it. Okay, as promised, when we come back, I'll take some calls. 877-710-ESPN. I got to go a little bit further into this as well, about the whole LeBron James has not won an MVP in 7 years. Might get a little heated, Laker fans. Might get a little heated on this one. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, is your vehicle due for a service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. 15 minutes. You know how many times I waste 15 minutes in a day? Go get a cup of coffee. It takes me 20 minutes. Just 15 minutes. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car and you stay safe, while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. You see that? I messed that one up last week. This week, I'm on it. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. All right, thank you to Stu Lance for taking some time to join the show. Okay, we'll continue this Lakers conversation, and I am going to spend some time on LeBron James. Before I do so, let me take a couple quick calls here. Anthony Davis, we know, will be reevaluated in a couple weeks, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Does Woj... I swear Woj knew the news before the before even the doctors do. How does Woj break every story? I mean, literally every single story, Woj breaks it. Let's take a couple quick phone calls. Wayne on the 405. Wayne, appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, Alan. Great to talk to you. Hey, man, I'm so happy to have a local SoCal like you on the air talking Lakers. It makes me so happy. You know, over the years, I've listened to a lot of stations where they, you know, bring in the Syracuse graduate to come on the air to tell me about my team, and I don't dig that so much. So congrats on the job. Love what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I've been noticing for at least the last 10 games or so, I'm getting really frustrated with the stagnation we're seeing in the Lakers' set offense. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the same thing every time. The Lakers cross midcourt. They give the ball to LeBron. LeBron peels off left or right. The other four guys go pick a corner. And LeBron tends to dribble it down to like 6-7 seconds on the clock. And then maybe they think of doing an offensive set. And what I think is happening is not only is that bad, not only are they not getting the looks they want, but I think that's a major reason why the three-point percentage has gone way down. Because early in the season, guys were moving and cutting and back screening, and guys were getting threes as a result of getting wide open, clean looks, and they were knocking them down. Now, we're getting a bunch of threes where guys are having to take them to beat the shot clock. And of course, that's not a good three. It's a low percentage. I think they both go together. I just don't know why the offense has seemed to get so stagnant of late. What's your thought on that?
Well, Wayne, I appreciate you calling in. So let me just start off on this. Let me say that if Lakers were going through a streak where they were disinterested in games, yeah, that luxury is over, especially if Anthony Davis is going to miss time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We have no idea how long he's going to miss, but you just assume we're not going to see Anthony Davis at least till the second half of the season. So what you're referring to of stagnation and the Lakers not paying attention to the details, yeah, that can't happen anymore if you're going to stay above 500 by the time you get to the All-Star break. I'm talking about these last few games, making sure, because look, Brooklyn's on the schedule, Miami, Golden State, Portland, Utah. You got some tough games coming up. So with all that in mind, I would just say that, yes, ball movement's got to be a key thing. A lot of these players that have not been stepping up on a consistent basis, now got to start hitting their shots. You know, I was asking Stu Lance about KCP. I love what he said. He said for KCP, I was asking him, hey, if you got one good game, does that give you the confidence, the momentum that you need? He said one bad game's not going to put you in a slump. One good game's not going to take you out of one. So KCP's got some work to do. Lakers got to play better basketball, period. I mean, the last 2 weeks for the Lakers, I'm doing every postgame show. Trust me, I'm not doing these postgame shows even with all those wins that the Lakers had at home, with my chest out saying this is, you know, watch out for the Lakers right now. This is beautiful basketball. But I'm also keeping in mind that it's a long stretch of the season, that's 72 games, and all the Lakers care about is just being ready for when the postseason starts. But now without Anthony Davis, yeah, things do change. The dependency on some of these other players are going to be different. Paying attention on the offensive side of actual execution will be much more important. So I think it's a fair point by Wayne. Manuel and Gardena. What's going on, Manuel?
Oh, Sleet Stack. Happy Monday to you, my man. I can't wait till you and T-Rodge are back doing your thing. When is that, by the way?
This Wednesday. So we got Lakers game tomorrow. We'll be doing the pre, half, and post, the whole thing. But then Wednesday, myself and Travis will get back on air.
Oh, that's going to be a treat.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Also, man, great stuff with Stu Lance, man. You know, obviously, he's the last link to Chick Hearn. And in my personal opinion, Paul Sunderland was the best guy to take over for Chick Hearn thus far, with Spiro Dedis in a close second. But that's another story for another time, Sleet Stack. I need you to talk me off of the ledge.
Okay, what's going on?
Because what's going on? You've been talking about it for the last 30 minutes. Please.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Achilles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My gosh, man, I'm scared, bro. You know, the Achilles is no joke, man, mm-hmm. for any athlete, especially an explosive athlete like our dude, AD. I mean, what are the chances of us bringing in Arnold and Willis's nephew, Andre Drummond, to provide maybe some big man help? Or do you think that Monstrez, as he's known in L.A., would be the absolute answer?
Well, listen, Manuel, thank you for calling in, but as always, there is no absolute answer for when Anthony Davis is not in the game. You know, I said this to start off the show, and I know this isn't breaking news. If you're going to win an NBA championship, LeBron and AD got to be healthy. So whatever's out in the market, and I got my top NBA stories. I'll get into Andre Drummond, who, by the way, is on an expiring contract, $28.7 million. Most likely he's going to get traded before the deadline, later in March, whatever that deadline is. Do I think he's going to come to the Lakers? No, I don't. Do I think the Lakers are going to make some significant move because Anthony Davis is going to miss the next, you know, potential couple of weeks or more than that? No, I don't. I think that it's very easy to overreact right now, and anytime you start hearing the term Achilles, of course that puts fear into Laker fans. It puts fear into the player whose career is, you know, certainly completely built on 25, 27, 28 points a game and 12 rebounds and a couple block shots and the best two-way player in the league. I think with all that, it's of course you have some hesitation of, oh my gosh, this could be, the last thing you want this to be is obviously a catastrophic type of injury. I mentioned this to start the show. I think the Lakers are in a good spot, and I think AD is too, in the sense that we're in February. There's a long way to go before this season, before we get into a meaningful point in the series, in the season. What I'm referring to there is as you get closer to the playoffs. AD needs time to heal and to rest, then take that time. None of the reports, and of course they pay attention to the MRI, says anything further than that. So if AD needs 3 weeks or he needs 2 months, I'm just talking out of my you-know-what. Whatever it is, the team and the organization is going to give it to him. Do injuries happen? Are they a part of the game? No question about it, they are. Every year in every sport, there's injuries that change the landscape of the sport. But I think in this sense, just we'll follow, I guess you can say, what doctors are saying, and maybe it's a couple weeks before we see Anthony Davis. All right, one more quick call. Greg and Ventura. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, Alan, three things. Number one is, if LeBron James led the league in assists as he did last year and couldn't get the MVP, I mean, there's clearly a bias against him, don't you think, Alan? Don't you think they intentionally are not giving it to him because somehow they think that he's I don't know.
I think it's stupid. I don't know what else to tell you. I really, really think it's stupid. Greg, you know he hasn't won an MVP since 2012, 2013?
Yeah, absolutely outrageous.
Think about this for a quick second, okay? 2012, 2013, I think he was 28, 29 years old. He's 36 today. Think about all those years in between what LeBron James has done for the league and the way he's been. There's no question. Anybody that knows anything about basketball, you say, who's the best player in the world the last 8 to 10 years? Most people are saying, well, it's LeBron James. So the fact that he has not won an MVP, the only thing that says to me is, why even – What does the award even mean? Why do I trust the award if LeBron hasn't won one in 7 years? What was the other point you were going
to
make?
Absolutely. I'll go back to the fact that I think they're doing it intentionally. But secondly, it seems to me, tell me about Giannis's brother. Why doesn't he ever play? How tall is he, Alan?
He's close to 7 foot. And Greg, okay. I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to answer this, and then I got to start wrapping up here. Kostas has actually been out of the lineup, literally, in the sense of he's been on the injured list for the past at least 10 games or so. I do the injury report in every pregame show, and I always look at the status report, so Kostas is always on there. So that would be the reason why he's not playing. Now, if you're trying to ask me, will now Kostas get more opportunities? We'll see. We'll see how Coach kind of handles some of the size. Okay, let me finish off my point here on the last time LeBron won an MVP. So 2012-2013 season was the last time. So that means for 7 straight seasons, LeBron has not been the most valuable player. So let me repeat that. Just think about this for a second. LBJ has not won an MVP in 7 years. The title of the MVP award is the most valuable player. So that means it has been determined that LeBron is not the most valuable player 7 years in a row. Why should I take this award seriously? Why should I take it seriously? Why do they call it the most valuable player when it's not based off being the most valuable player in the league? And don't get me wrong, there's been great individual seasons over the last 7 years. But LeBron hasn't been an MVP one time in the last 7 years. I don't want people to tell me, but have you seen Giannis Antetokounmpo's stats? I don't care. He's not a more valuable player than LeBron. And go down the list. There's other players that I'm not trying to take anything away from others. I'm more just trying to point out the greatness of one individual player that we all agree is the best player in the world every single year. Everybody always says, yeah, it's LeBron. LeBron's the best player in the world. LBJ is the best player in the world. Since he was in Miami, he has not won the most valuable player of the year award. Isn't your prime supposed to be 28 to 32? So that means LeBron has not been the best player since he was in Miami at age 29. LeBron didn't win MVP at the age of 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, and 35 years old. Am I delusional here? I might be delusional. I might be crazy. But when I read that, and I did some research on this because I was bringing this up to Michael Thompson yesterday in the pregame show. Michael was saying, Alan, Russell Westbrook had an unbelievable season. Do you remember what Steph Curry was doing? You know, Giannis took his team. I don't care. I don't care because it's LeBron James for 7 straight years has not been awarded what should be his every single year. And I know people are going to say the only MVP that counts or that matters is the finals MVP. I get all that. But you still should reward the most valuable player of the year in the NBA, at least one of those damn trophies over the last 7 years. Okay, that's all I got on that one. I guess I'll stop paying attention to the MVP award. I know Laura. Laura is working overtime back here. I don't understand it, Laura. I don't get it. I mean, I thought I understood NBA, and apparently I know nothing about it. We got our top NBA stories coming up next. If you guys want to be a part of the of Lakers Talk, 8:15. After my top NBA stories, I'll take a few more phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. If you want to hit me on Twitter, @AlanSliwa, Lakers Talk, 710-ESPN.